discussion tonight is going to be HARP, which stands for the High Altitude Auroral Research Project, which is in Gakona, Alaska. And we're going to talk with a gentleman tonight that has published a book on this topic. The book is called HARP, The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy. And this book just recently was published by Adventures Unlimited. And it's a pleasure to welcome to the program tonight Jerry Smith. Good evening, Jerry.
Well, hello, hello.
Thank you for being on the program with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Listen, let's start off real quick because some people do not know what HARP is. Tell us what that acronym stands for and what this is all about.
Okay, the acronym is HAARP, which is High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. Basically, when completed in the year 2002, it will be the world's largest radio transmitter, only it won't be transmitting for human ears. It's designed to put a focused beam of energy at the top of the atmosphere. This is a scientific endeavor, they say,
mm-hmm.
called ionospheric heating, and it will put a spot of energy into a spot about 50 miles across at around 3.6 billion watts, which is about 72,000 times more powerful than the largest legal radio station in the United States.
You could cook a lot of eggs with that kind of power, couldn't you?
You know, you're not the first person to say that. Now, why they want to do that is what my book is all about, in that I point out that the environmental impact study seems to be doo-doo. The principal reason why it was funded by the Senate was not covered at all in
mm-hmm.
the environmental impact study.
Right.
The government's official documents on this thing and the civilian official documents seem to be misleading. They seem to be talking about different things at different times. And so it appears as though there's some sort of shell game kind of cover-up going on. And this leads us to have to guess, okay, if it's not what they say it is, what is it? And the problem with guessing games is usually there's one right answer and an infinity of wrong answers. So what I do in the book is I establish that there seems to be a need to guess what it might be, and then I logically go through all the variations and permutations on the science seems to say it might be able to do this or that or the other thing, and then I ask the question, who would want to do this or that or the other thing?
Okay. Before we get into the different conspiracies, the stories and the different ideas that some people have about what HARP may be or what it is, let's talk a little bit about some of the history of this, because I never even knew until I read your book that a very famous name was possibly involved in the very early research into what ultimately has led us to HARP.
Well, you know, I touch on a guy who was one of the greatest men of the last century, and in fact, I do an entire chapter on Nikola Tesla. And after, as I was completing the research on the book, I realized that I had gone a bit astray. Nikola Tesla probably had no direct impact on HARP, unlike some of the other writers on the subject have said.
Mm-hmm.
However, we live in Tesla's world, and I find it shocking and dismaying that Tesla is forgotten. You know, there's a rock band named after him, and people who tinker, build their own TVs,
mm-hmm.
have heard of Tesla coils.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. And yet, the universe that we live in, the electronic age, is driven by AC, alternating current. The power coming out of the wall, the power that's running this radio station, the power that's running the radios receiving the radio station, unless they're battery operated,
mm-hmm.
is AC. Of the 46 basic patents in AC, Tesla holds 45 of them.
So he was clearly the inventor of the alternating current.
Exactly. And radio. Marconi got the world's attention by doing the first successful broadcast. But Tesla sued him, took it to the Supreme Court, and won. And the Supreme Court ruled that Marconi had pirated 14 of Tesla's patents. So the technology, not just the power running your radio, but the fact that your radio exists at all,
now,
is we have Tesla to thank.
Now, you've got your chapter in the book on Tesla is very, very interesting. And again, I wasn't even aware that some of the stuff you know, he was basically working in research that was the forerunner of what HARP may be. And can you go into that a little bit? Because I know you include in your book a couple of articles from the early 1900s. The New York Times, I believe, was the newspaper.
Right. That's actually one of the more fascinating things. HARP began, in truth, the way HARP began was the Atlantic Richfield ARCO company has the North Slope of Alaska, and they have all this oil and all this gas. And the trouble with gas is really difficult to ship thousands of miles.
Right.
So they wanted some way to burn it there. They wanted a customer to buy it there. And, of course, the only logical customer would be Uncle Sam.
Right.
So they had a what is called a wholly owned subsidiary called APTI, A-P-T-I, which in the early documents was called ARCO Power Technologies Incorporated, and today if you ask anybody at HARP, they will say it's Advanced Power Technologies Incorporated, which I think is an interesting form of Soviet history revisionism. They created this company, and a guy working for them, Bernard Eastland, came up with a brilliant idea of how to spend a lot of taxpayers' money, which was create a lot of radio waves. And he figured if you create a lot of radio waves and put them in a spot that would use up a tremendous amount of energy and do some really fascinating things. Well, he created a patent, took it to the patent office, and the patent office guys worshipped Tesla. And when Bernard Eastland put his patent in, they threw back a couple of articles about Tesla that had appeared in the New York Times. Eastland didn't know squat about Tesla. He gets these articles and goes, "Wow, this is pretty far out," and adds them to his patent. Now, I quote Eastland describing this process. A lot of people think that he studied Tesla and then got the idea from Tesla. He just plucked it out of wherever he plucked it out of and didn't know about Tesla until the patent examiners thought he was running afoul of him. Tesla was onto some really wild things.
Okay, I want you to hold on to that because we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll find out exactly what, you know, that Tesla was into that kind of lays some of the groundwork for what HARP may be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
1-800-836-2009, 1-800-836-2009. My guest tonight is Jerry Smith, and we're talking about his book, HARP, The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy. Give us a call if you have any questions on this, because this is a very interesting topic and indeed a very interesting book. Be right back after this. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to The Paranoid Continuum.
Are you sick and tired of the same old UFO magazines? Paranet has the cure. Continuum. Paranet's quarterly magazine is packed with stories you're not used to seeing in the other magazines. There's a regular series on the need to establish a first contact science, written by a psychologist on the alien abduction phenomenon. You'll find interviews with Paranet's fascinating guests, late-breaking news from the worlds of science, ufology, and the paranormal, intriguing discussions from Paranet's news groups on the Internet, and their sighting reports, book reviews, and much more. A subscription to Continuum is only $18 for 4 quarterly issues. Call now to order Continuum at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. MasterCard and Visa accepted. Continuum, Paranet's cure for the UFO blues. Call 1-800-836-6381 and order Continuum today.
Paranet wants you to know. Did you know that Paranet Information Services was the first comprehensive paranormal and UFO information service of record? In 1986, Paranet was launched as an electronic news and information service dedicated to answering questions and questioning answers. Since Paranet's launch, we've expanded to a truly global organization linking research and investigative groups via our computer network, now on the Internet. This radio program is a mere extension of the vast knowledge base and experience Paranet has gained through thorough and timely reporting on events throughout the globe. Michael Corbin, Paranet's director, brings 10 years' experience to the Paranet Continuum. This program offers something that others can't and don't, an extensive focus on these issues. To learn more about Paranet, you can contact us toll-free at 1-800-836-6381. or visit our website at www.paranet.org/paranet.
For those of you who may recognize the music that we're using tonight, we're using Mike Oldfield, and that's Tubular Bells from 20-some-odd years ago. It brings back a lot of memories, of course. But anyway, that's off of the Best of Mike Oldfield album, Elements, and very interesting. We're talking tonight with Jerry Smith, who is the author of Harp, the Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy. And now, Jerry, before we went to break, we were talking about, we're getting ready to talk about some of the stuff that Tesla was doing that may relate to what's going on with HARP.
Okay. Tesla got ruined by either his own machinations or the machinations of J.P. Morgan or a stock market collapse. There's lots of rumors about what happened in 1903.
Mm-hmm.
What we do know is that he believed that he had developed broadcast power. He believed that he had made some significant discoveries about how the Earth's electromagnetic field works. And he believed that he could pump energy into the ground, into the Earth's electrical field, and pump it out at another point.
Right.
He demonstrated this several times. One time he lit 400 of Mr. Edison's most brilliant lamps at a distance of 26 miles without any wires.
So in other words, 25 miles away, he was lighting light bulbs.
Exactly.
We're talking
spotlights. We're talking searchlights.
I really chuckled because, you know, Colorado Springs is not far from Denver, and I actually lived there.
Uh-huh.
Tell us what was going on in Colorado Springs.
He would pump energy into the ground, and the craziest things would happen. Butterflies would fly around with bright blue halos.
Uh-huh.
When people reached for their kitchen water taps, they'd get bolts of electricity instead of flows of water. Horses would get shocks through their horseshoes and run screaming and whinnying out of their stalls.
He also created lightning bolts and thunder that was heard 15 miles away in Cripple Creek.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's very bizarre.
In several of his experiments, he started lightning storms. One lightning storm blew out the entire power grid for Colorado and Utah. One lightning storm started like 1,600 fires.
Jeez, that's incredible.
He was playing with some very, very big stuff.
Now, he was also, during the time that he was experimenting with this type of stuff, he was in dialogue with the government on weapons systems. Is that correct?
I don't believe so. I think his weapon systems came after. But he had some strange dialogues. He believed that he had had contact with some sort of extraterrestrial or angelic being. He described her as the most beautiful woman man had ever seen, but she wasn't wearing a human female body. She was in a pigeon's body, and he spent most of his life feeding pigeons in hopes of running into her again.
Now, this particular device that Tesla was working on, is what you believe, based upon some of this data that you've collected, may be one of the things that HARP is all about.
Well, HARP is about broadcasting power. HARP is about taking electrical energy from one point and putting it in another point.
Okay.
And that's probably about as similar as it gets. You know, when I started work on this book, it was an article of faith among UFO researchers an article of faith among HARP researchers that HARP was Tesla technology. In fact, there was a previous book on the subject with the subtitle Advances in Tesla Technology.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I went along with that right up until about 4 months after publication. About 2 months ago, I started realizing, you know, this isn't entirely correct. So I'm actually having to backpedal. I put into the book both scenarios. I put into the book that Dieslin didn't know diddly about Tesla, but put in what the other researchers had said about Tesla and HARP. And so I give you both versions in the book, and then after the book came out, you know, this is a breaking story. HARP is a breaking story. It's an evolving piece of work. And so, you know, I have to say that I can't really point to a smoking gun, or shall we say a smoking antenna, making a direct connection between the two. But the similarities are striking. The similarities are really remarkable.
Now, let's move to what the HARP project says that it is.
Okay. Officially, it is civilian science. It is civilian science to understand, as they call it, characterize the auroral zone of the ionosphere. The aurora, of course, is the northern lights. The auroral zone is the area around the Earth's magnetic poles, north and south, where the aurora takes place.
Mm-hmm.
The ionosphere is the highest level of the gaseous envelope of the Earth. That is, it's the highest level of the sky.
How many miles up is that?
It starts at about 50, ends at about 600.
So this is the area that they're targeting.
Right, and this is the area that the space shuttle actually flies through. The space shuttle is the space shuttle, like HARP, was designed by civilian scientists working under military contract. And the space shuttle was designed primarily to service spy satellites. And so it operates as close to the Earth as they can get it. It never really gets into true space.
That's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask you something. You were talking about in the beginning of the book about radar, that perhaps this was a forerunner of over-the-horizon kind of radar stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But now, I want to ask you, there's something that has to do with the Geneva Convention. You mentioned in the book that the Geneva Convention prohibits the use of pulsed electromagnetic radiation for radar. Is that it?
No. HARP violates the Geneva Convention, several Geneva Conventions on other points. But what specifically the radar aspect is the ABM Treaty, the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty.
Okay.
The Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty lays out a number of weapon systems that each side can develop and how they can be developed and how many of them that there can be and where they can be placed and da-da-da. And one of the weapon systems enumerated in the ABM Treaty is something called phased array radars. And phased array radars are a field of radars that can be the individual radars within the field can be sequenced in their firing, which is exactly what HARP is. HARP is a field of antennas which are sequenced in their firing, which it gives the focus ability.
Why are these prohibited? In other words, is there some health reason?
No. It was prohibited because the Soviets didn't want us to be able to develop something that we could use offensively, that we could use to locate their... One, locate. Two, shoot down.
Mm-hmm.
If you can locate an object, if you can see that 1,000 miles away there's an ICBM coming at you, that's one thing. If you can track it and move and continue tracking it so that you know where it is, so that once it's within shooting range, you can shoot it, that's something else. And the Soviets were perfectly willing for us to see it coming, but they weren't willing to allow us to be able to shoot it down. And so the phased array radar that can be used to track an object, that can steer, that can stay on the object,
mm-hmm.
that's what's limited.
Okay, hold that. We're taking another break. 1-800-836-2009. 1-800-836-2009. HARP, The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy, is the book. The author is Jerry Smith, and we are talking with him tonight about this very mysterious project up in Alaska. What does it really all mean? Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Paranet has been on the information superhighway since before there was an internet, and during the last 11 years, we've collected an incredible amount of information on UFOs and the paranormal, and you can see all of it on our website. The address is www.paranet.org/paranet. See what Michael Corbin really looks like. Is he a modern-day Orson Welles? Or go to our news page and keep up with the latest happenings in ufology and the paranormal. Click on other interesting sites from our links page. File a UFO sighting report. Read about Continuum Magazine. See the Paranet Radio Studio. Download free pictures of UFOs. Join Paranet online using your Visa or MasterCard. You'll be authorized within minutes to see all 30 megabytes of files and pictures and nearly 200 real audio files of the Paranet Continuum radio shows dating back to April of 1994. You'll find it all at the Paranet website at www.paranet.org/paranet.
Pilots depend on accurate, timely information, both in the cockpit and on the ground. Skyway Publications helps with both. The Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide provides convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that cater to pilots. These are free, pocket-sized guides with information on large and small airports nationwide, along with technical information, fuel and airport services, and businesses that can make life easier for pilots. Keep in mind, it's free. Check your local airport for the Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide, or call area 970-669-1800. Call Skyway today and find out how the guide can also be a financial opportunity for you. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Check your local airport or call Skyway at 970-669-1800.
As we continue with my guest, Jerry Smith, and the book is HARP, The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy. And, Jerry, let's pick up where we left off when we went to break about this, what we were talking about concerning HARP.
Okay. The HARP array is a field of antennas. At the moment, I believe it's 48 antennas. Scheduled to be 180 antennas in 2002, and this thing is designed to be built incrementally, that is, some now, more later.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing to say that in 2002 they won't decide to add another 6,000 antennas to it.
Now, have they turned this on yet?
Well, that's one of those yes and no. They have been tinkering with it. They put some towers up, they powered some of them up, they powered some more up, They powered some more up. So it has been turned on.
What do we know are the results of those tests?
You can go to their website, and you can and go to NASA's website.
Mm-hmm.
They did some experiments with the WIND, W-I-N-D, satellite a couple years ago. There's a number of things on their website they're willing to talk about. There's actually two websites. There's one for scientists who are actually working with the thing, and then there's one for public who want to know about the thing.
So basically then, what we're seeing publicly does not begin to cover the concerns that some people have about what it really is.
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, let's touch upon some of the conspiracy angles to this. What are some of the ideas or the conspiracies that are cropping up about what HAARP is or what it will do?
Okay. You have to look at what it may be able to do. And let's start with what it was paid to do. The United States funded it. The United States Senate funded the thing to do something called earth-penetrating tomography, which is like CAT scanning the earth. It's a way to look deep into the earth. We use radar to see objects in the air.
Mm-hmm.
We want to use a similar technology of using radar to see objects in the ground. The Senate was convinced that if we could see a mile deep, we could find enemy underground bases, tunnels, launch facilities, manufacturing facilities for nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons of mass destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Air Force not only wants to be, the Senate wants to be able to verify treaties. The Air Force wants to be able to target potential targets. This technique involves literally burning the ionosphere. Now, burning involves oxidation, which involves oxygen. So it's not exactly burning, but it is boiling. It is causing the upper atmosphere to heat up substantially,
which may not be very good.
There's a lot of possible not very goods associated with boiling the top of the atmosphere.
Just the sound of it doesn't sound good.
When the atmosphere is heated sufficiently, it gives off a scream of extremely low frequency, ELF or ELF radiation.
Which I know from what I've understood in research that's harmful to humans.
Exactly. The connection between ELF and human health can be seen in the numerous lawsuits of people who live by high tension lines who have discovered themselves and their children
mm-hmm.
having increased cancer and leukemia rates.
Right.
Okay. What the Senate has done is hired some civilian scientists to figure out a way to bathe the northern half of the planet in lots of ELF radiation so that sensors on the ground or in the air flying over disputed areas can determine if there are, in fact, enemy underground bases.
Mm-hmm.
The Navy is also in on the project, and what the Navy wants to communicate with deeply submerged submarines. Now, the radio does not go into water worth a darn.
Right.
It penetrates a few inches.
Which I know that they've got things like GWEN, which is the Ground Wave Emergency Network.
Right, and they've got Project Sanguine, which has miles long and antennas in the upper Midwest. These work, but very poorly. The Navy originally, with Project Sanguine, wanted to build an antenna 26,000 miles long and bury it, run it back and forth across the entire state of Wisconsin, about 8 inches below surface level.
Mm-hmm.
The people in Wisconsin took exception to this. And the reason they wanted this antenna so long is because in order to communicate with radio, the radio antenna has to be longer than the length of the wave to be propagated. And with extremely low frequency, the wave is extremely long. To communicate at 30 hertz, the antenna would have to be over 600 miles long.
Wow.
Now, the aurora part of the name, HAARP, the aurora is the visible result of something called the electrojet, which is a flow of electrons out of the magnetosphere,
mm-hmm.
which is the Earth is a magnet. It's surrounded by a magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
The sun is a continuous atomic explosion that is sending atomic sending particles our way. This is called the solar wind. Amongst the things in the solar wind are electrons. The solar wind hits the Earth's magnetic field and gets the electrons get trapped in the field and bounce back and forth from pole to pole. Eventually, they build up a sufficient charge, kind of like rubbing a cat on a windy day. It will build up a sufficient charge to where it will discharge. The electrons will flow out of the magnetosphere to Earth at the poles, and this flow will be up to the output of 1,000 power plants.
Jeez.
Incredible flow of electricity. When it hits the atmosphere, it hits it with such force that it actually heats the atmosphere and causes it to give off light. That's the northern and southern lights. Now, what the Navy wants to do is they want to use the HAARP antenna array. They want to send a signal from HAARP into the electrojet, into this thousands of miles long flow of electricity, and make that coherent. Make the electrojet resonate and rebroadcast the signal from HAARP, giving them a virtual antenna thousands of miles long.
My goodness.
Will then produce extremely low frequency ELF waves that will penetrate deep into the ocean to communicate with deeply submerged submarines.
And fry our gourds.
Yes, now the real kicker on this is both these technologies use ELF, and it uses ELF at exactly the same frequencies that the human brain works at.
Okay, we're going to kick that up on the other side of the break. Stand by. This is very interesting and sounds very serious. This is a very bad project, I think. We're talking with Jerry Smith, who is the author of HAARP, The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. There's a lot more to come. I'm Michael Corbin. You're listening to the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back.
UFO magazines. Paranet has the cure. Continuum. Paranet's quarterly magazine is packed with stories you're not used to seeing in the other magazines. There's a regular series on the need to establish a first contact science, written by a psychologist on the alien abduction phenomenon. You'll find interviews with Paranet's fascinating guests, late-breaking news from the worlds of science, ufology, and the paranormal, intriguing discussions from Paranet's news groups on the Internet, and their sighting reports, book reviews, and much more. A subscription to Continuum is only $18 for 4 quarterly issues. Call now to order Continuum at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. MasterCard and Visa accepted. Continuum, Paranet's cure for the UFO blues. Call 1-800-836-6381 and order Continuum today.
Paranet wants you to know. The Paranet Continuum has been on the air for more than 4 years, and we couldn't have done it without your support, so this is our way of saying thanks. If you've been listening for a while, you're familiar with our skeptical believer approach to this whole paranormal business. Yes, there are plenty of very strange things going on that science, government, and a variety of belief systems have trouble explaining, and we're not here to flatly debunk everything. We just don't buy into many of the more popular explanations for these phenomena, and we think some more critical thinking is needed. This makes us very unique in a world where the paranormal seems to be everywhere in the media. On TV, other talk shows, and big-budget movies. And some of the wildest explanations seem to get the most attention. Many people like our approach. Of course, others are mad at us. Oh well. With your continuing support of this radio show, our website, and Continuum magazine, we hope to keep everybody thinking and talking well into the future. Again, thanks. We are Paranet Information Services. We'll be right back.
Returning from Nevada is my guest tonight, Jerry Smith. We're talking about his book, HARP, The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy. And, Jerry, before we go on, let's take a call. We've got a caller listening in on our affiliate in Denver, 1280X. Good evening, Mason. You're on with my guest.
Yeah. I was wondering, for that dude in Alaska,
yeah,
how is it humanly possible to make that that generator thing, like, 10,000 times the regular generator thing?
Jerry?
Well, what it is you have, when finished, they'll have 180 antennas. Each one of the antennas, I'm digging up the specs here, okay, it's going to be 180 antennas, and they're 72 foot tall. Oh, I'm digging at the, they're run by diesel powered transmitters. Each transmitter puts out 10,000 watts of power to each of the antennas.
Mm-hmm.
That gives them 360 transmitters altogether. I'm scanning over this briefly. You can follow along with me on page 18. But basically, they multiply each other. There's antenna gain. Each antenna gains 1,000%, and then the field gains 1,000%.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, listen, we're going to have to wrap it up for this hour of the program and move along to the next hour when we get here. But real quick, when are they planning on did you say it was 2002 that they're going to plan on firing it up to its full potential?
Yeah, the 2002 is the target date. Curiously, they're building another one in Norway that's going to be even bigger, and it's also scheduled to be completed in 2002.
Wow. Do you think what do you think is going to happen?
I think they're going to fry our heads.
It's not a very good prospect, of course, is it?
Oh, well, if you like being a three-minute meal, it's a great one.
That's a good way to put it, I suppose. 3 minutes, it won't be. It'll be over, right? Turn it on, and we'll pop and fry our heads, and then that'll be the end of it.
Right. They were expecting World War III to last an hour and a half. Now we've got it down to 3 minutes.
Okay. Well, Jerry, thank you very much for being on the program, and for those